age to age, it stands. And time is in his hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are going to take some knees with the Lord in prayer, along with praying for those maybe in the path of Hurricane Irma. I would also ask you to pray. I received a call today from my mother in regards to my sister. She was taken to the emergency room. She had been dealing with some fluid retention, swelling on just the left side of her body. They did not know why. She went to the urgent care. They said she needed to go to the emergency room. She went to the emergency room. They ran all kinds of tests. Were not able to come up with anything conclusive as to why she was retaining fluid on one side of her body. And so they sent her home and basically told her, we hope it gets better. If it doesn't, you'll have to come back in. Didn't even give her any medication. So we're not really sure as to what she's dealing with, but we do know a God who can heal. And so I told my mother we would certainly have special prayer for my sister, Carrie Lutzinger, and we're going to pray for her here in just a little bit. Anybody else have a request you'd like to make known to the church? If you'd slip up your hand, we'll call upon you, and you can say what it is. Well, everybody raise their hands at once. Just All right. I see another hand. Brother Bill, continue. Pray for him. Certainly there. Sister Christy, see your hand in the back. All right, certainly. Brother Jay, I think I saw your hand. All right, certainly. Sister D. Goodness. Yeah. All right. Certainly. All right. Anybody else? With Matt? Yes. All right. Yeah, certainly. All those, and I'm sure there's probably others here that you have family in that area. They're really not sure as to, obviously, there's projected paths, but they don't really know exactly what the storm is going to do. And then Jose is right behind that, and they have, I think, Katina out in the Gulf. And so there's just a lot of stuff happening in that area. And obviously, Houston already been hit very hard. Continue to pray for them. I know that there was a church from South Florida that was sending supplies up to Houston. And then as they're, you know, got a couple of trucks going to Houston, they realize that they might need some of those supplies back in Florida. But yeah, certainly let's remember all those that are dealing with the situation there. Sister Kristen, do you have another? All right. Why don't you stand? Let's go to him right now in prayer. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you. Lord, once again, we cry out on behalf of those, God, Lord, that have to evacuate, those that have to leave, God, property and possessions. Lord, we know ultimately, God, what is most precious is life, God. And we pray, Lord, that wherever the storm may hit, God, we pray, God, that those that would be there, there would be no loss of life, God, that those that have to deal with the situation would do so, God, and in ways of wisdom. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would deal with the situation of my sister, God. Lord, give the doctors I was dealing with that situation wisdom, Lord. Lord, ultimately, I pray for a healing in her body, Lord, for Brother Kellum, for those that mentioned, God, families dealing with loss and transition, God, and difficulties with families, God. We know that we can come to you, God. We can trust in your power to work and to move. God, to help us, God, through whatever situation, God, whatever storm of life, God, whatever occurrence may happen, Lord, we can believe and trust in you to be there and to help us, God, to give us direction for our lives. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Regularly scheduled services Sunday. I want to say thank you to Brother Spencer Underwood for opening his home last Sunday night. Great time together, those that were able to go and be a part of that. This coming Sunday, we will begin on Sunday night, Sunday morning service, regularly scheduled, 10 a.m. Sunday school, 11 o'clock, our evangelistic worship service. And then at 6 o'clock on Sunday, we will start our first series, if you are, our first DVD in the series of End Time, talking about the end time. It is talking about where the United States is in the Bible. And so we encourage you to come, invite someone to come and be a part of that. Essentially what we'll do, the DVD presentation is right at an hour long. So the first session will be a little bit extended during the first session. We'll have the first session, we'll watch the complete DVD, and then we'll go down for fellowship, and then we'll come back up, and we'll have a time for open discussion, questions, so I hope that you will find it interesting. Again, and I will make this disclaimer more than once. I am not saying that I agree with everything that will be presented, but I think that what is going to be presented is food for thought, and things that we should consider in light of Scripture. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that this coming Sunday night as we start our first lesson, the end time. Then A week from tonight is a missionary service. A brother and sister Pace, who are missionaries to Europe, Middle East, and Austria, are going to be in service with us. I've already been in contact with him, so they're going to be in service with us this coming Wednesday night. So we will not have a Bible study next Wednesday night. It will be an actual service. And I asked him, I said, are you guys doing multimedia? He said, no. He said, actually, Brother Wells, he said, we're just going to come and preach and have good church. And I said, well, we're all about that, so that's wonderful. So come expecting that next Wednesday night, and we'll plan and prepare accordingly. And then a week from Friday night is a youth rally, Section 10 youth rally, and we are letting the youth know about that, getting a group together to go. You are welcome to be a part of that as well. It is in Joliet, and then they have an after event, which you probably don't want to go to, but I'm sure the youth will. But if you would like to go to the service, it is open to any and all. And we'll give you information. It's already in our announcements that we'll scroll throughout the screen. Remember, we are in the middle of our penny wars, where we are warring against one another in a very fun-loving, competitive sense, men against women. We are doing this for a great cause, raising money for She's for Christ. And so we encourage you. I know a lot of you are probably sandbagging for the last week. Just know that the last week was a turning point in our contest last year, and we hope that it is not the turning point, because at this time, the men have led for 2 weeks in a row, and, well, enough said. We'll move on. We are continuing in our study, enjoying the journey. Yes, I even had that written down. I wrote it on my hand. It's right here, but I didn't write it on my paper. Before we get into the study, it's here. I can show you. It's Feed Starving Children right here. It's on my hand. We have, once again, how many of you were able to go and be a part of Feed My Starving Children last time we went as a church group? There's quite a few of us who were able to go. What a great time we had putting together food packages for those needy areas, third world countries, that sort of stuff. We once again are going to do that. There's going to be a sign-up sheet at the back. We have reserved 30 places. There's 35 slots on the sign-up sheet. So if we can get 35 people to go, the more the merrier. That's a great time. We get together. It's a very well-organized. It's run like a well-oiled machine. Everything is wonderful. We pray over the food at the end. It is a Christian-based organization. It's a nonprofit organization where they have volunteers that will be us that are going to put together the food packages, and then they pallet those up and give us a count at the end of the night as to how many we would be feeding with all the food, essentially, and then we pray over it. It's just a great time together. And then last time we went out for a meal together, all of us, I think we went over to Portillo's, so I would imagine we would probably do the same thing this year. So the sign-up sheet is going to be at the back. It is October the 6th, and so if you have any questions about that, you can see Sister Grimm, and she can let you in on that. So now we're moving forward. Into our second lesson of enjoying the journey. And we're talking about an invitation to real relationship with God. Real relationship with God. And last week we focused on a passage of scripture. It's found in Matthew chapter number 11, verses 28 through 30. And we are going to focus once again on this scripture, because really we only dealt in large part with the first three words, "Come unto me." We talked about the invitation to come unto God, what that meant, what the invitation was. But let's read the passage. It says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then last week, and this is probably something that we'll visit every week, because this is, I guess, the catalyst, these questions, these musings, these wonderings of this study. And we said this. We said, what if we make relationship with God much harder than it should be? What if I can learn to be aware of God in the messy, the scary, the unknown, the tears, even in the not feeling good enough? What if I can get past a performance-based faith to an authentic faith in walking with God? What if I can stop trying to always play host to God and realize it is He who has invited me? And we talked about that in depth last week, making comparison between Martha and Mary. And then what if the traditions of men and rudiments of this world have robbed me of truly experiencing God as he intends? What if we can learn he is weaving passion, pain, and grace so personally together in my life that it has to be journeyed with him to really appreciate it? What if we can allow him to lay out the dreams he has placed in us in the way he would like? What if I can learn the more real I am with Jesus, the more real he becomes to me? And what if every day God invites us on an adventure with him, where I can find joy in the journey and where all that life has draws me closer to him? What if? What if these things can be? What if we can have a real, and again, I'm not demeaning, this is not to be condescending to anybody in your walk and relationship with God. That is not the intended person. That is not the intended persuasion, if you will. What is intended in this study is for us to really evaluate, am I in real relationship with God? Is there, and I believe that we all could probably ask this question honestly and answer honestly, is there more for me in my relationship with God? And I believe that we all can readily say, yes, I believe there's more for me in my relationship with God. I believe that there are greater things for me in my relationship with God. There's greater understanding. There's greater depth. There's greater sincerity in my walk and relationship with God. And so that is the aim. That is the bent, if you will, of this study when we talk about enjoying the journey. An invitation to a real relationship with God. So last week we talked about the invitation. Let God host. Just come and be present. Talked about the difference between Martha and Mary and how that Martha was playing the host, and Jesus told her as she was busy and cumbered about with much serving, he told her, Martha, you're anxious, you're careful for many things, but there's something that's better. He says, Mary has chosen the good part. And we talked about the difference between always trying to host and always, and we didn't demean serving, but we wanted to make sure and we wanted to emphasize that we don't have to be so encumbered with serving all the time that in our service in the kingdom, we neglect an opportunity to sit with the King. We talked about the difference and how it is his invitation to us. He desires to host. He desires for us to attend and have this relationship with him. So let's once again look back at our focus verse, if you will, our passage of scripture. We dealt last week with the first three words, essentially, come unto me. The invitation, come unto me. And we were very candid, and I said this, and I still would say this, that when I read this passage of scripture, the expectation that I see in that scripture, sometimes I don't feel is manifested in my life. Remember, we talked about last week how that part of real relationship with God is understanding, it's learning that my expectations are different than his manifestations. That what I expect often is so very different than what he is manifesting. And so we've got to find a way to align. We've got to find a way that my expectations can be met or are met by his manifestations. Because if we talked about that the number one relationship killer was unmet expectations or failed expectations, and how that many people lose out with God and they backslide because of unmet expectations. So we talked about how it was essential for us to understand that God has something for us, but the something that he has for us is often not what we expect. All right? All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now that part, that all you that labor and are heavy laden, we can relate with that. That's that phrase that we can attach to readily. We can say, yeah, there's times, man, when I'm weary and I'm burdened. I feel like I'm burdened down by the stuff that I'm doing. And I said, I'm going to be candid. I'm going to be honest. There are times in my walk and relationship with God where this rest that this passage talks about, I don't see being implemented in my life. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our weary and burdensome words we often easily relate with, while rest and joy seem to often evade us. That's an honest question. That's a pretty candid question. And I'm not asking you to answer this. I'm not asking for a show of hands. But our weary and burdensome words that we often easily relate with and our walk in relationship with God, whereas rest and joy often seem to evade us. Where it seems like in my walk in relationship with God, I can readily find where I'm weary and where I'm dealing with burdens, but there's so, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but what I'm saying is that can we get a balance back to where we understand that there is rest and joy in the journey with God? But it might not be the way I expect it to be. See, that's the crux. That's really what we're talking about. Because remember, part of this relationship with God is learning that my expectations are different from His manifestations. That what I expect in reference to rest and joy are different than what they really are. See, this is why we should accept the invitation. This is why when He says, "Come unto me," we should say yes. Why? Because we are often burdened and weary. Because continually playing host and serving can jade us from truly enjoying the journey. That's an honest statement. Continually hosting and continually, I've always got to make it happen. And I've always got to do this. And I've always got to be serving. And I've always got to be playing host. And sometimes because of all that we're doing, guess what? We become encumbered. And we become jaded. And we don't get the joy out of the journey that we should. Because we need true rest and joy. We need true rest and joy. And because our accepting the invitation will change our expectations into those that are met by His manifestations. Because when I learn to sit at His feet and I learn to have real relationship with Him, all of a sudden my expectations begin to change. And they begin to align with His manifestations. And now I begin to have real relationship with God, where I am more real to Him and He becomes more real to me. So once again, I want you to pay close attention. I've, of course, capitalized and boldened the same word because it's used twice in this passage. "Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Everybody say rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." Everybody say rest. "Rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Two times in this passage of Scripture, the word rest is used. So now let's ask the question. What does it mean? What does it mean to rest? When we talk about rest, and it's mentioned twice in this passage, what is the Scripture talking about? What does it mean to rest? So here's the question. What is your expectation of the rest that is referenced in this passage? Anybody? What is your expectation of the word rest that is used in this passage? Just Christy, I saw your hand. To have peace? Anybody else? A release? Okay. Here's the thing. Maybe your expectation is different than my expectation. Maybe your expectation is peace. Maybe your expectation is release. Maybe someone else's expectation is refreshing. Maybe someone else's expectation is to be renewed. And while all of these are together, what we need to understand is that though the same word is used twice, it's a different Greek word. Stay with me. Though the word rest is used two different times, it essentially means two different things. Do they dovetail? Certainly. Do they have commonality? Sure, certainly they do. But the word rest that is used in this passage is actually two different Greek words. The first rest, he says, I will give you rest. Look at the passage. He says, I will give you rest. Now, if you look it up, it's verse 28. The Greek word for rest is anapaio, which means to give rest, intermission from labor, by implication, to refresh. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Remember, I said one of the reasons why we should accept the invitation for real relationship with God is because we are weary and we are burdened and we need rest. Now, think about this. God rested on the seventh day. We know that, the story of creation in Genesis. Let me ask you, did God need to rest? He has all power in heaven and earth. Did it take anything from him to create? He simply breathed. The Bible says the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He just breathed it. And God said, and God said, and God said. So did God need to rest on the seventh day? Did he need to take a break? Did he need to refresh? Was God depleted? No. So why did God himself rest? Think maybe as an example. Think maybe as an understanding. Do you know why? God also required the children of Israel that on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, they were to rest. God did it as an example. He didn't need to rest. He didn't need to take a break. But the understanding is if God himself rested on the seventh day, do I think I am better than God? Not only that, if you read in Exodus 23, God commanded, read it for yourself. God commanded that on the seventh year, the children of Israel were to let the land rest. He told them, on the sixth year of your planting, I'm going to give you enough to last you six, seven, and all the way through the harvest to eight. Essentially, he said, I'm going to give you enough in year six that it's going to supply for six, seven, and eight. But seven, you don't plant anything. Seven, you let the land rest. I'll take it further than that. If you look at one of the reasons for their judgment upon the children of Israel was their disobedience in regards to resting. They didn't have enough faith to believe that when they planted on the sixth year that there was going to be enough. And one of the judgments, and you think about it, 70 years of Babylonian captivity, 10 times, for every year, think about it, 10 times. Because the Lord said, listen, if you won't let the land rest, I'll make it rest. And it's going to be desolate. And the others, he said, they'll have it. But because you would not let the land rest, I'm going to take it from you. You're going to go into captivity. And the land shall be desolate. It's going to rest, even if I have to rest it. Now think about that. To take time off, to cease from labor, to literally stop and smell the roses that we have spent so much time cultivating. I know it's you got to stop and smell the roses sometimes. But here's the thing, folks. This first rest is a literal rest. It is to cease and to stop from labor, to pause, to have an intermission. It's quite all right. It's necessary. It's biblical to rest. I remember as a young man, I was doing some work at a neighboring pastor's home, pastored a great church, and his wife was down. It was on a Monday, and I was there, and I knew I had to do some work on a window that was up in the bedroom, and she told me, she said, well, just go on up. Said he'll be sleeping for a while. And I thought to myself, well, this is, he's an elder pastor. I just kind of found it odd that he would be be sleeping. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning, and man, I walked up, and then man, he was out. She said, y'all don't worry. You can bang around. You ain't going to disturb him. She goes, sometimes he sleeps for hours on Monday. And she's like, it's his day to rest. And I thought to myself, wow. I see, I really didn't understand that. And I really, even this, I struggle with that. I struggle with just taking time and stopping. I tell people all the time, I don't do idle well. I've always got to be in gear. I've always got to be going. I can't. Putting my life in park and just sitting there is difficult for me. I struggle with that. But God said, you need to learn how to rest. I will give you rest. I will give you an pause. I will give you that just stop. Smell the roses. But here's why. Here's why we struggle. Plant and water, yes, but remember, God is in charge of the increase. So celebrate the effort by resting. I'm going to say that again. Plant and water, yes. Paul said, I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. But always remember, it is God who is in charge of the increase. He is in charge of the outcome. You and I are not. We are in charge of the water, the planting and the watering. And what we need to learn to do is celebrate the effort of the planting and the watering by taking a rest. By literally stopping sometimes and resting. But here's the thing. We are so result-oriented people that we often do not celebrate the effort, only the outcome. And so when the outcome, when the expectation is not being met, what do we just keep going? We just keep it in drive, and we just keep trying, and we just keep putting the effort for, and I'm going to make it happen. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All the while, God is saying, wait, I'm in charge of that. The increase, that's my job. You planted and watered. Now, celebrate the effort. But our expectation about the outcome, and we're so result-oriented that everything, we gotta see it happen. And then, oh yeah, once this happens, well, then I'll back off a little bit. And once this comes to fruition, well, then I'll know it's good. No! That's not what he's saying. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that are weary and burdensome, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, come unto me once you got it figured out, and come unto me once you've already worked it out. He said, no, come unto me while you're weary and while you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Stop! Don't be so result-oriented that it's got to work out or it's got to meet your expectation before you decide to celebrate. Celebrate the effort. Celebrate the fact that you're watering and you're planting. Let me worry about the increase. Because we are result-oriented people, we want to see that increase. And when that increase doesn't happen, or when our expectation doesn't come to fruition, we feel like, well, we've been such a failure. Wait a second. He said, listen, I'm meek and lowly in heart. This is why I think sometimes we put undue expectations on ourselves. Or sometimes we expect things out of ourselves that God never expects out of us. Newsflash. That doesn't mean that we're lazy or we're slothful. God forbid. The Bible is very clear about that. What it's saying is that in our work and in our service for the kingdom, there's times where we need to stop. And we do need to smell the roses. We need to stop and celebrate the effort that's gone into it. And whether or not it ends up the way I wanted it to end up, that does not mean that I'm a failure. And it does not mean God is manifestation in the way he chooses to do things. And the way he chooses to bring the increase, I've got to leave that up to him. He's God. But in the meantime, I can celebrate the effort. And one of the ways I celebrate the effort is to stop and rest. Remember, the outcome is his manifestation. So don't fail to rest just because your expectation is not met. Rest. What about the second rest? Because then he says this. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now, this is a different Greek word. It's not the same Greek word that's used initially. This rest is rest for your soul. You shall find rest unto your soul, the Bible says. It's a different rest. Matter of fact, it's a different Greek word. The same root, but it means, it's anaposis, which means inner rest or tranquility or peace. Now think about it. The soul is the seat of affections, feelings, emotions, desires, etc., referenced also as the mind or the heart in Scripture. Does your mind ever rest? No, I mean, it's a little question. Does your mind ever rest? Okay, let's do it this way. If you believe that your mind rests, raise your hand. If you believe that your mind does not rest, raise your hand. Anatomically speaking, if your mind rested, you would be dead. You would be literally brain dead. Because your mind does not rest. Even while you sleep, it does not rest. You ever heard of REM sleep, rapid eye movement? You ever thought about this? Do you know, some of you may or may not, realize that you dream in color? Do you know that there has been verified of individuals that had to expend, that had to spend extended period of times in solitary confinement? There's a place in Alcatraz called The Hole where they would place prisoners and there was absolutely no light whatsoever in the hole. And after a few days, the prisoners would start experiencing what they thought were dreams, but realized they were awake, but yet they were seeing things and having their own reality. They were seeing color. Yeah. Your mind does not rest. So what is Jesus saying when he says you shall find rest for your souls? What does that mean? What is meant by this? My mind doesn't sleep. My mind doesn't rest. My mind's always, even when I'm sleeping, my mind's going. How does this part of you rest? How can anyone have inner rest? How is this possible? Keep in mind our expectations are different than his manifestations. Maybe the second rest is better understood with an object lesson. Anybody know what this is? You're right, it's a compass. For those of you that were willing to say it out loud. It's a compass. Now there's something very, well, I mean, we pretty much know, anybody that knows how a compass works. Does anybody know how a compass works for the most part? Yeah? A few of you? What's a characteristic of a compass? Anybody? It always points north. Why? Why does it always point north? There you are. What causes a compass to always point north? Anybody know? Magnetic. The magnetic pull of the North Pole. There you go. Woo! Now we're going to get lessons in science and geography. So everybody stand up for me. If you have your phone, and now you have permission to use your phone right now. If you have an app on your phone that is a compass, if you have an iPhone, it's in Tools. If you don't have your phone, you can just follow everybody else when they do what I'm asking them to do. Anybody got a compass on your phone? It's under Tools. It's under Tools under mine, but I have it labeled as Tools. I can tell you use it a lot. Here's a quick question. How many of you know what direction I am pointed right now? Yes, right now, my face. Straight east? Anybody else? According to my compass, I am pointed almost due south. Now this is almost due north. I have two compasses and both of them are saying north. This object lesson is going to go awry real quick. Put your compass up right now. No. Here's the thing. Anybody else? Okay, if all of you go point north according to your compass. Everybody point north according to your compass. That's north according to your compass. Mine obviously needs to be recalibrated. So all of you that have you, all of you that's saying north is that way. That one's wrong. I should have kept my iPhone in my pocket. Due north, so you would have been correct. But today that's almost, I was almost east, kind of northeast. What do you say? here's the thing. You may be seated. I'm going to salvage it, trust me. As I go throughout my week, this is how, this is just me. When I have a thought and I feel that God is dealing with me about something, one of my prayers is, Lord, throughout the week and in my just general interaction with people, talk to me. Now, maybe he doesn't work with you this way, but God will talk to me through a song. God will talk to me through another book. Certainly, he'll talk to me through the Bible. God will talk to me through a conversation. God will talk to me through all kinds of ways and all kinds of, he'll talk to me through my children. And here's how this happened for me. Because I was really trying to understand this rest for my soul. I was really trying to understand this inner tranquility and try to grasp about what this truly meant to have inner peace. And I was in conversation with a pastor friend of mine this week. And he said that he was on a fishing trip. He was in Puerto Rico. And the guide on the fishing trip looked at him. And this wisdom from a fisherman, he asked him this question. What is your north? And when he said it, the mental image, I felt a prompting at that point. And the mental image was this. That I remember as a kid when my dad was teaching me how to use a compass in the woods. And my dad told me. Now this is something that happened years ago when we were first, I was going out, I think we were squirrel hunting. And dad handed me a compass and said, I'm going to teach you how to use a compass when we're out in the woods. He said, something that you must understand about a compass is that the arrow will always rest on north. And it hit me. This is the rest the Bible's talking about. You shall find rest for your souls. Inner tranquility and peace. And what is your north? And just stay with me because I'm going to prove it to you. This is what the Bible is. When he says you shall find rest for your souls, it's like the dial on a compass. When you come unto God and you understand that he is north, he is the one, you'll find rest for your soul. So I began to think about it. I began to ask the question, what exerts the greatest amount of pull on your life? What is it that pulls at you the most? What is it that you are passionate about? That's your north. That's what's pulling you. Think about it. It's not a surprise that busyness, and I know that's with a Y, that's correct. It's not a surprise that when people talk about being busy, they will say things like, I'm being pulled in all directions. This is the rest for your soul that he's talking about. It's the understanding that if I will make him north, if I will come unto him, all ye are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a stop, and that's a physical rest. But you need to understand, I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. What's your north? I hope and pray that what I point towards in my life and how I tried to lead my wife and my children, I may not have scripture and verse for everything, but what I'm trying to do is keep our lives at rest. Pointing toward the things of God, pointing toward the kingdom of God. I'm trying to align my will with his will, and I'm trying to align my family with north. I'm trying to make sure, because that's where true rest is. That's where true inner peace and tranquility is. That's where truly understanding what it means to serve God and finding joy in the journey, that even in all the twisting and the turning and the frantic thing that is life, if I can have a north, if I can have something that says that's where I rest and that's where I come to, I know that there is peace and tranquility and there's rest for my soul. Inner peace, tranquility, rest for the soul results from God being our north. You find rest for your soul. Accepting the invitation to come unto God is to stop, calibrate. Calibrate. Set my direction in God, and as a result, find rest for my soul. It's busy. It's messy sometimes. I got to deal with this, and I deal with that. And sometimes on Sunday morning, the kids don't want to cooperate, and sometimes the printer doesn't want to print, and the notes don't want to come out right, and sometimes the song's off key, and the rhythm's wrong, and sometimes this thing's happening. But guess what? As long as we keep God north, as long as we understand that's what we're pointing towards, and that's what we want to point people to, I can have rest. I can understand it may not all be like I want it to be, and my expectation may not have been met, but as long as I can keep north and say, God, I'm directed to you, I can find rest. It's going to be all right. This is how I know. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You do the Greek translation, you know what it actually says? A two-souled man. Where's north? A double-minded man is unstable and all. He doesn't have any rest. Why? Because he hasn't found north. He hasn't found the place where the needle of his life and the direction of his life is pointing towards the things of God. And so he tries to fill, and he's pulled over this direction, and he wants fame, or he wants notoriety, or he wants finances, and he's pulled in all these different directions, and he's unstable, and he's busy. He's unstable. Look at this one. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In closing, you can stand. Stop. Pause. Catch your breath. Release your need to hurry to your expected outcome. Stop. Pause. Rest. Release your need to hurry to your expected outcome. Set your internal compass towards him and allow him to direct your path. Rest in the midst of all the messy, the hurried, the frantic, the unexpected, that is life. And enjoy the journey. Man, this happened, that happened. It's just so crazy right now. Everything's going on and this is that. Yeah. That's life. That's the unexpected. That's the messy. That's the frantic. Stop. Pause. Release your need to hurry to your expected outcome. Don't throw the mic. Rest. Come unto me, all you weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You'll understand that it's good to just stop and pause. For I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. It'll allow you to recalibrate. Align your life with me. And then the messy and the frantic and the hurry and the worry and all that stuff, you'll soon learn to enjoy. Because I'm in the middle of it all. I'm there. Stop. Smell the roses. Breathe in life. Make sure I'm north. You'll find rest for your souls. Lord Jesus, we love you. I pray your word has helped. We'd understand how important it is to rest. Your invitation is not to come and be more busy. Your invitation is not to come and be frantic and worried. Your invitation is not to come with our own expectations about what the outcome is or should be, but just come. Knows you're weary, you're heavy laden. He wants to give you rest. He wants you to find that stopping place where you can refresh and renew. He's meek and lowly at heart. There you'll find rest for your souls. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. Help us, God, in this journey to enjoy all that life has. The ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, the mountaintops, the valleys low. And enjoy the journey knowing you are there every step of the way. And to pause and breathe you in and find rest for the soul. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. In your precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Certainly. Let's go to the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, how we ask you to work out the situation. Lord, I know that there are many, God, who are trying to leave the state of Florida. Lord, we pray that you would expedite their opportunity to come and be here with family, Lord, and to get away from Florida. Lord, I pray that you would work it out, that you would bring it to pass. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness, God, that we can come to you about situations such as these. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may go and